In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Will and Bibby
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, y'all, off to a good start. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Willard and Dibs, free Odyssey app, or wherever you find your favorite podcast, and you do it for Steiny and Goo and Bonte and Joe as well, and then you check out all the content. Dave Fleming, who's phenomenal on with Bonte and Joe, was on again earlier today. You can check all of that out. And speaking of the Giants, a couple of quick things before we go to the phones, Dibs. One, Andy Baggerly just tweeted out that Andrew Knapp is in the Giants lineup tonight, marking the first time in the history of baseball where someone is starting for a team they're not on.
I don't
have any idea when they got this person. He was a Giant 2 years ago. He's been with the Rangers. There has not been any news about them acquiring him, putting him on the 40-man. I have no clue what the hell's going on, but Andrew Knapp is the starting catcher for the Giants tonight, even though he's not on the team.
I like the player, Mark.
Yes, I like the pick. So that's very exciting. And also, tonight, it's a perfect segue into the new label for this weekend between the Giants and the Mariners. I wish I could be like deep voiceover, like inflection guy here on this one, but this is the most annoying baseball series of the year. If you don't know much about the Seattle Mariners, we'll tell you later, they're amazing at pitching, yet find a way to lose every game. And I mean this at a historical sort of a level. They are breaking records. You thought Matt Cain had tough luck. They are setting records for great pitching and finding a way to lose. And had a 10-game division lead early in the year, and since then have pretty much been the worst team in baseball, and the White Sox play in baseball.
Right.
So there's that. And then you run that up against the Giants, who don't hit or score runs, and the Mariners pitch great, and the Giants kind of pitch great, and the Mariners don't hit. The Giants don't hit, but the Mariners don't hit even more. And I'm pretty sure all three games are going to extra innings tied at zero.
Yeah, bet the under.
I mean, oh my God.
Go ahead and bet the under, Grandy. Yeah, bet all three unders. Hashtag fade the dibber. I don't even know what the line is. It probably is 6.5.
Yeah, I mean,
it could be 5.5. These two teams are so bad.
It could be 4.5. I mean,
they're the only team to allow fewer than 500 runs this year. They've allowed 489. They are first in baseball in runs allowed. And when you only allow 489 runs, your run differential should be better than plus 14.
They lose.
They're a plus 14.
And they lose all the time.
Yep.
Okay, the over-under on this game is... Oh, God, that scared me. That's the first five-inning total.
Oh, which is probably 3.5.
It's okay. 7.
Yeah,
it's 7.
There you go, bet the under.
It's 7.
Neither of these teams can hit. Both these teams can pitch.
It might be the two most disappointing teams in baseball.
Well,
they might be. And the loser
the Giants,
of the series.
I don't think are that disappointing.
Sure, they are.
The Giants are what we thought they were.
They're what you thought they were.
I'm about to Denny Green you.
Yeah, but
the,
you're.
No, you want to lean on Vegas? No. You want to talk about Vegas?
Yeah,
what was their over under?
That's a fair point.
The win total for them was 81.5.
No, it was above that. It was above that. It was more toward 83.
But no, well,
they were
whatever.
Supposed to be a winning team.
Okay.
And they've got a top 10 payroll. And they were second in baseball.
And they are a winning team.
Oh, come on.
They're on pace to do exactly what Vegas thought that they would be.
That's fair.
which is 82 and 80.
That's fair.
So I don't think they're that disappointing.
But there's where they go and there's how they got there.
Yeah.
Those are two different things.
So for me, Seattle is disappointing because a month or two ago, the thought was, oh my God, we might have
to the playoffs. Yeah.
We got something here. We're good. We're exciting. Get excited, Seattle. We've got ourselves a good club. The Giants have been this all year.
Oh God, they've even been worse at times. Right? But yeah. Now they can pitch. They couldn't pitch when they could hit. Now they can pitch, but they can't hit.
But anyway, they've been mediocre the whole year.
Sure. This is an elimination series.
Okay.
Loser of the series, take a walk.
Okay.
All right. Let's go back to the phones.
Please.
Hi, Pete in Belmont. What are you doing, Pete?
Well, I was listening to the Brandon Ayuk stuff, and as a lifetime Niner fan, I have a cautionary tale for Brandon. And my cautionary tale is Delanie Walker. That was a beloved offensive guy. He was redefining the position, a huge part of the offense. Loved by the coach and the fan base. He went for the bag in Tennessee, and you never heard from the guy again. And, I mean, it was probably not that much more than what the Niners were offering. I forget. You know, it was a long time ago. But as Brandon goes for his extra 10% of salary, he should really look at things like that. And that's really what I have to say about Brandon.
This is a bad example, Pete.
Dibs is shaking his head through the whole phone call.
Well,
but thank you, Pete.
I wanted to make sure that the homework that I was going to do was going to back up my head shake. And he played 7 years with the Niners. He played 7 years in Tennessee. He made three Pro Bowls in Tennessee. He had triple the catches in Tennessee than what he had in San Francisco. And yes, he didn't have the same team success, but he got the bag, and then he went out and had 60, 63, and 94 catches his first 3 years.
No, he did Delaney well.
Delanie Walker did well.
He did well out there. And by the way, let me add further. I don't care even if he didn't. You're never going to hear me come down a player's road
for getting that bag.
Getting the bag.
Exactly.
The problem with Brandon is he's been offered the bag.
Couple of them.
And he won't take it.
Offered a Gucci.
Okay.
Offered a Birkin.
Major,
with an S.
That's why he is so exhausting. I don't mind if you take the bag. Take the bag. Go or don't, but do something.
Nice. It's almost an Amy Winehouse reference there.
You take the box. Thank you. You got to do something. So there are tons of examples that, in fact, would have been better. You want to know, and this is maybe going back a little ways, but Pete sounds like he's got a couple of rings on his tree.
He's an old soul.
Yeah, like for me, my favorite example is Alvin Harper, who played next to Michael Irvin with the Dallas Cowboys, and he took a bag to go to the Tampa Bay Bucks, and that was when the Bucks weren't pewter yet. They were just creamsicle orange,
wow.
And they were terrible every single year, and he went and got the bag. And he was like, it's time for me to be wide receiver one. Now go look those numbers
up. Oh, I got them.
Give me some numbers. Alvin Harper with the Cowboys, Alvin Harper with the Bucks.
Last year with the Cowboys, he led the league in yards per reception at 24.9. He only had 33 grabs, but 8 touchdowns. Then he went to Tampa, 46 grabs, 19 grabs. Then he went to Washington. Two grabs. Then he went back to Dallas. No grabs.
Yeah. Sounds to me like he went for the bag to Tampa and got fewer than 100 catches in the rest of his career.
67, Mark.
There you go. So that's a good example. Yeah. And by the way, even then, you won't hear me criticize a guy.
Yeah.
What a wild thing to do in life. Rip other people for taking the top salary? That's what all of us do.
That's what we try to do.
That's their job. They like, you want to go get the biggest salary? Go get the biggest salary. They'll never, if Brandon, and by the way, those guys all did it as free agents. But this guy's doing it not as a free agent and won't say yes to anything.
Well, he's kind of a free agent.
He's not.
Well, they're treating him like it.
They are.
He's kind of a free agent,
well,
the way that they're treating him.
Sort of, like a concocted version of. I mean, they're trying to trade him.
He's a semi-free agent.
Yeah, they're not cutting him.
No, but he's telling you where he might want to go, and so you're working with those teams to try to make him feel comfortable where he might go, and then he doesn't really want to go there. They're getting clowned.
But I think the larger point Pete's trying to make, and we've heard this, and I might even somewhat agree, that if Brandon Ayuk were to leave the 49ers right now, I think the betting favorite would suggest that his 1,300-yard receiving days are probably over.
Could be.
Especially with the teams we're talking about. Now, if you told me that he wanted to go be a Chiefs, or if he wanted to go be
a Bills,
right? Now we're having a different conversation. But if you want to go be a Steeler or a Brown or a Patriot or a Commander, oh, yeah. Yeah, we're done getting 1,300 yards.
Well, maybe now, but down the road it might be different.
Maybe.
Yeah, Delanie Walker was 29 when he went to Tennessee. He had already played 7 years with the Niners. So that was a spot where, you're fully into your career. You're a free agent. You go there and you have a chance to be tight end one. Because I think he was sharing catches with Vernon Davis at the time. So, well,
another good point. Yes, there was an opportunity
for him to grow.
Yes.
And for Brandon, you already wide receiver one. And yes, Debo is there, but you get the most targets of anybody. So it's not like you're lacking for targets. You're not lacking for love here. You're just lacking for money.
He might argue that he's lacking for targets, but at the same token, it's like that's here. And all of the reports suggest that when it's whittled down to the bottom, Brandon still wants to stay here. But the weirdest of all things that I think I've heard all summer long about Brandon is now that Brandon wants to stay, but that the number for the Niners has to be higher than it is other places.
Right.
Whether that's because of taxes or what, I have no idea, or because you're emotionally hurt about this. And again, I don't know what's true or not when it comes to that stuff. You know, social media has gotten out of control with Brandon Ayuk. That I'm sure of. By the way, quick aside on this. I think this is funny. And I like Andrew Filippone. We're not like great friends, but he does something on FanDuel and I go on with him a lot and he comes on with us a lot. And so I like the guy. I really do. Texting with him, whatever. This idea that if Brandon were to end up with the Steelers, then all of your Steelers tweets for the last 2 months are now correct. Sorry. No, they're not. Like, unless you worded them differently. But we saw what y'all said. Trade is done. Brandon's coming to Pittsburgh.
Right.
Wrong. No, factually wrong.
The trade is done.
No, it's not.
And Brandon might be coming to Pittsburgh.
The trade is not done. I don't even know that a framework has been agreed to. But if a framework has been agreed to, then a framework has been agreed to.
Right.
There is not a completed trade. Brandon is not on his way to Pittsburgh. Brandon is not on his way anywhere. Brandon seems to be on his way to John Lynch's office again in sneakers.
He might be in Vegas.
Maybe.
With the fellas.
It'd be good to know. I'd love to know. Is he in Vegas?
Right.
Where is he tonight?
Back home.
Where's Brandon?
Is he in Washington, D.C., watching the game with Jaden?
Yeah, you can't report something. That'd be like if 2 years ago, I'd have been like, you know what? Klay Thompson has been traded to the Mavericks. The guard is on his way to Dallas. And then this year happens, and you're like,
scoreboard.
See?
Scoreboard, my friends.
No. That's a no. No. I think we can look at this. Social media got out of control. And this is what I mean.
It always gets out of control.
But this is what I mean by the Niners are being used as a prop. Everybody knows you're going to get followers and engagement and spin. Send people to your YouTube channel when you start screaming and yelling Niners. Ba-ba-ba-ba, breaking news, siren emoji. We got this, that, the other. Brandon and Brock, and now Brock and Brandon and this and that and Debo and whoop.
And Trent, yeah.
Good Lord, like stop. You're winning. You're winning on your platform, but none of this is real. I just don't think, I think very little of this is real.
Right, but what is real?
I don't know.
What is real is that Brandon Ayuk is not playing football for the 49ers right now.
Or anyone.
Right. Brandon Ayuk is under contract, but he's not playing football for the Niners. He's showing up, but he's not playing. That's real. Is there a contract that they're working out? Is there a trade that is imminent? We don't know. All of the reporting has been on both sides of that. We don't know what is real or what is not real. All we know is that your best wide receiver is not playing football for you right now. And does that really matter 17 days away from the opener? No, it doesn't really matter yet. But when will it start to matter? And I think it starts to matter come Monday, like you were saying before, yesterday or the day before, like your deadline, you've had it up to here. And if it's not done by Monday, well, then you're out on Brandon and you're done with Brandon. And that feels to me like what the team would probably be thinking as well, because as of Tuesday, you have to make roster decisions. Yep. And you'd like to know if he's going to be on your roster or not.
They're going to sneak him onto the injured list with that back injury?
Maybe. And I bet you Pearsall shows up on the injured list.
Maybe.
Either the PUP or the IR.
Where are you on that?
On Brandon Ayuk?
On basically like, how far can we go before this actually becomes a problem? You may answer that by saying it already is. You know, I mentioned, yes, I like if Monday at 2 o'clock, that's when we're done with this show today, we will not be back until Monday at 2 o'clock. And,
yeah.
And actually about 1:48, you know, Steiny and Gould will be kind enough, I think, to invite us in here and we'll all talk. And if Brandon Ayuk's situation is not done by then, I promise you right here and now, I will say into these microphones, not that anybody really cares, not that this will have a huge effect on the situation, but I will say into this microphone, I am now done with this situation. And if I were the Niners, I would take one of two actions. You can either go to an available trade,
yep,
or you can simply say to Brandon, we're now done here. You know where to find us if you'd like to talk again. And then go play football and go get yourself ready for the New York Jets, which on that day will be exactly 2 weeks away from, yep, coming to Levi's, yep, Stadium for a game. That's how I would handle it. I'm not in charge. I don't know how it's going to go, but that to me is when it officially becomes a real distraction. I think what's been happening up until this point is largely annoying but forgivable and,
sure,
and recoverable. Sure. I think that changes next week.
For me, it's probably Tuesday when the actual roster decisions have to be made. Monday happens, and if Monday nothing is done, you get to Tuesday at 1 o'clock when rosters have to be turned in, and you got to push that piece of paper across the virtual table, and you got to tell the league who your 53 are. That, to me, is when you have to make that decision. And if you're not extended by then, if he's not traded by then... okay, what are we doing? Are you playing football? If you're not playing football, then we'll put you on IR, and you can sit there on IR until we, you know, decide that you're healthy enough to be activated, or we can have you be a part of our active roster, and we expect you to show up to practice tomorrow. So for me, it's Tuesday when the roster gets turned in.
Yeah, okay. Monday, Tuesday.
The same.
Yep.
It's all the same.
Next week.
But,
next week. It's
already... to your earlier point, I already do think that it's been a distraction. Has it been such a distraction that you can't recover from it and still win games? Of course not. But in the eyes of the fans, which, again, that doesn't really affect how you play football, but I know that fans are feeling differently about Brandon Ayuk now than they did last February.
I'm arriving at a spot where there's a piece of me now, just because the conversation has happened enough times. I almost, like, I'm... reverse interested, if that's a phrase. I'll explain what I mean. No, like I'm interested to see what it would look like without Brandon. I don't want that, but because the conversation's happening, I'm now intrigued. I mean, aren't we talking about, at the core of all of this, aren't we talking about the perceived arrogance of Kyle Shanahan?
A lot of it, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And actually, that's something, maybe, let's go there. 888-957-9570. And sort of like how that sits with you. The perceived arrogance of Kyle Shanahan. Meaning, like, sure, I can, we've been to a Super Bowl with a quarterback. Nah, we're going to get a new quarterback because we want a quarterback on a rookie deal. And I feel like we can, this offense can roll with multiple quarterbacks, and then you can totally mess that pick up and then slip and fall into a seventh round quarterback and win with him And then you can win. I mean, this has been the Shanahan way all along. We can win with this running back. We can win with that running back. We can win with Joe Staley. We can win with Trent Williams. We can.
Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson Jr.
Raheem Mostert wants a raise. You're like, that's funny. You're an undrafted free agent. What do you make? $2 million? Fine. We'll give you 2.1. Get in here, or else we're going to win without you. How far does that go?
It's gone really far.
It has.
As I mentioned in our thread earlier, the last 5 years, they've made 4 conference championship games and 2 Super Bowls. And they've done it with, 3 different quarterbacks or 4 different quarterbacks? They've had, Jimmy and then Trey. And then you had...
Only 2 have actually taken them to that game, though. Yeah, but yes, I hear what you're saying.
You've had a collection of receivers and a collection of running backs. And you've had, different... linemen, the whole thing, as you were mentioning. So I think that speaks to arrogance is one word, but it's also just success. And so if you're Kyle Shanahan and you look at what you've done since you've been here, you inherited a roster that was awful. You were 2-14, and Grandy and I did this when you were out of town. We were just kind of joking about some of the names on the roster and what that he inherited, and you have systematically gone about rebuilding it into one of the best rosters. Apologies to Pro Football Talk, who may or may not agree with how good this roster is, but for the last 5 years, you've been playing on that second to last weekend of the year or the last weekend. So if you're Kyle Shanahan, you're thinking, I can do it again. If Brandon's not here, I can do it with whomever.
It's funny the way we translate that. Like, I totally buy everything you're saying, but I think that sometimes, and maybe it's because we want to turn him into a television character or something, we make it sound like Kyle's like a swashbuckler who walks through the hallways and like, I can win with you and I can win without you. Like, I don't think Kyle is that much of a jerk. You know what I mean? I think Kyle, in other words, I think Kyle Shanahan values the people around him, but he also really, really believes in his system and what he's doing. And so do I. I think it's funny sometimes that more people don't. Let's play the Tom Brady comment again from a different angle. We played it an hour ago, talking about Super Bowl hangovers. But listen to it again and listen to what Tom Brady, who was turned down to come be a 49er, listen to what he says about the team. And this was unprompted. He wasn't asked to talk about the 49ers. He was asked to talk about Super Bowl hangovers. And this is on the Stephen A. Smith Show.
I think perspective will determine that ultimately when we look back. So in any team in the moment that I would say loses a Super Bowl, how many times have we lost Super Bowl and then the next year the team doesn't make the playoffs? That happens quite a bit. Yeah. You know why? Because every year you start back at the bottom with everybody else. Whether you win the Super Bowl, whether you finish in 32nd place, you start at the bottom of that mountain that you're trying to climb. And I think someone like the 49ers, for example, they run a great program. I think they have a very good ownership. They have a very good general manager. They have a good head coach. They have a very good quarterback. They have a very good defense and defensive coordinator who they've had. Mm-hmm. And I think those are great fundamentals of what you're looking for to build an organization, those positions.
So Tom Brady, by the way, thinks higher of the 49ers than most fans I talk to.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's pretty interesting to
me. Loves the ownership, loves the coach, loves the front office.
Loves the quarterback.
Right? Loves it all.
He was quoted last year as saying there's so much bad quarterbacking in the NFL, but he likes Brock Purdy.
Right, right. Maybe he's just lobbying to be Brock's replacement if Brock gets hurt.
Maybe. But like, there's something there, right? Which is to say, like, okay, what if I go, sure, fine, Kyle's arrogant. Kind of a jerk sometimes. So...
Right. He is successful. So it's a fine line between success and arrogance. And I don't think that he's arrogant. I've never thought that he was arrogant. No, arrogance is when you let everybody know how smart and how great you are. And I don't think he does that. I think that he is just successful. And, he's confident that what he does and his system and his methodology and his play sheet and everything else that he does and stuff and the roster that he constructs, I think that he's confident in that. I don't think that he's arrogant.
Hmm. Yeah, we talked about this earlier in the week too a little bit. Like, and I know arrogance is not a great word, but I don't even mind if he is arrogant. Like, he can back it up. Hasn't that always been the thing we say in sports? Don't be arrogant unless you can back it up.
Back that thing
Doesn't
up.
Doesn't he back it up?
He backs it up.
Right, and now we'll get all the calls. But look what he chokes in the Super Bowl. I mean, actually, Tom talked about that a little bit too, which we can play for you coming up next. But glad you're with us. 888-957-9570. The number. We're sponsored by Safeway, Willard and Dibbs.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dillard and Wibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, that's right. It's Friday. Willie and Dibby. 888-957-9570.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Really?
You think they can win without Ayuk?
They can win without Ayuk.
All of it?
No. You crazy?
Sure they can.
The Super Bowl?
Jason LaConfora, Odyssey NFL Insider. He came on with us yesterday, and we asked him that. Shanahan think he can be fine without Ayuk?
We know what Kyle's history has been at the wide receiver and quarterback position, and they feel like they can sort of create guys, right? And we can scheme things up. And I think it's also one eye into the future. Like, it's not just about giving Ayuk 30. It's about giving him and Purdy 95 or 100, or, you know what I mean, or whatever that number turns out to be. And is that viable? But things have conspired against him, right? Pearsall can't get on the field. My buddy Baldy, you know, rewatching their first two preseason games, isn't impressed by the depth at wide receiver whatsoever. You know, he thinks that it's pretty egregious. And you're only one injury away from, you know, if Ayuk's holding out week one, hypothetically, and God forbid Debo gets hurt, then what are we talking about? Yeah, there's not a whole lot of there. So I'm sure that's part of how they're looking at it. But the guy they drafted to show him that, hey, you're not all that, hasn't gotten on the field. So if you're Brandon Ayuk and you're looking at this same film and you're around the team and you see what's going on, like, really? 1,342 yards? You don't? No big thing? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I mean, go ahead and replace that.
The Pearsall thing is really unfortunate. I don't mean, like, from a leverage standpoint, but it is really unfortunate that is not an option right now. That's unfortunate, you know? And if Brandon is using that in his favor, okay. You know? I mean, dance with the date you brought. That's fine. That worked in your favor. But I'll admit that. I would feel a little bit more comfortable as a 49er fan if there was, like, even if you didn't know whether you should believe in it or not, you know, from a skill set standpoint, you could look at that and at least be like, well, maybe that'll work out. Maybe he'll be good week one, two, three, somewhere in there. But like right now, I don't even think that he's probably going to play in any of those games. I don't even exactly. think he'll be suited up.
No, I think that he's heading for one of the various lists, whether it's IR or PUP, I don't know. But he has not been able to actually play football. And he played a little bit in practice, and he got hurt, and then he got hurt again, and then, the shoulder. And now the shoulder appears to be a lingering issue, and so now he's not playing tonight, and it doesn't seem like he's going to be ready to go. He might still be ready for week one. I think that's a little bit of a stretch. And, you know, you could look at Chris Conley, a guy who is 32 years old. He's been in the league a long time. He's a professional football player. And he was a chief, and he played pretty well last year in some spots, a few spots where you needed him and you could lean on him. But if you're going with Debo and Conley as your two wide receivers and Juwan as your third down back, for me, you're not good enough to win the Super Bowl.
Can we find a different word? I'd like to find a different word.
Than?
Arrogance.
Okay.
Because I think you're right in sort of pushing back on that, where you're like, well, wait a minute. Because, in fact, you read the definition of it to me yesterday, and I'm like,
right.
It's a little bit more striking and negative than I even sort of.
Yeah.
Because to me, arrogance and confidence are like neighbors.
Right. But arrogance.
But you were like, no.
No, no, no. Arrogance is in a gated community. Confidence is a really nice house on a good street. Arrogance is a mansion in a gated community.
Locke and Forrest talking about, like, this is just Kyle's way. His belief is that their system can make guys. And if you want to trace the history of the name Shanahan in the league, they ain't wrong. They ain't wrong.
Well, it took Mike a long time to finally get there get over.
But what's funny is people will be like, this Shanahan guy thinks he can just make people out of nowhere. And the same person will be like, this Purdy guy's totally a product of the system. It's kind of opposite points, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, that's like if you believe. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo went to a Super Bowl, and then in his next professional outing, he made Devontae Adams lose his bananas. Right. Those are the latest two things that he's done in the league: go to a Super Bowl and drive Devontae Adams insane. So how did Kyle do it? How did he do it? And is he doing it again? I think is actually a national debate that continues to rage.
On is he doing it again?
Is he?
Is Brock Purdy just a product of the Kyle Shanahan system?
Is he doing it again? Are we literally watching the same thing again? And some way, somehow, because I don't know what's going to happen next, we've all decided he's just going to sign a $60 million contract and off to the sunset we go, and there will probably be at least a couple of Super Bowl Lombardi trophies and parades and the Hall of Fame, and thank you for coming. But this could just as easily, 2 years from now, this could be, dude, what the hell happened to Brock, and why is this like... why is this not feeling right? Why'd they pay him? You know, when Jimmy Garoppolo walked in here and won six in a row, and by the way, before it sounds like I'm arguing this, I'm not. They're not the same player.
Exactly.
I don't believe. I'm just saying I don't know what's going to happen next. And there are those of you out there who believe that Brock, in some way, shape, or form, even if just a little bit of him, is a product of the system. And what's going on around him?
I believe that.
Okay,
for sure.
So why is Brandon that?
Well, yes, of course he is.
Well, then what are we talking about? Then we should not be this scared of the idea of Brandon not being on the team.
Well, we should be because there's no replacement for him. And similarly,
that we know of right now.
Well, fine.
Make another one.
Okay, make another Brandon.
Make another one.
Okay. Chris Conley, 32 years old, journeyman. Go ahead and you go be Brandon Ayuk. I don't like his chances.
Okay.
Juwan Jennings, you've been a third down back and you've made some plays. You've been pretty good. You go be Brandon Ayuk. I don't like those chances. And Ricky Pearsall, first round pick, rookie. You said yourself, rookies don't often pop right away.
Not often.
And this guy can't even get on the field.
Not often.
Because he's so hurt.
But it's allowed.
It's allowed, yes, but you've got Cowing who is behind schedule, and none of these guys are going to hit the field and be Brandon Ayuk. So, yeah, go be Brandon Ayuk. How long will it take?
I don't know.
What will that mean?
5 weeks.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe longer.
Or maybe none of them are Brandon, but they're a reasonable facsimile, or at least if they're 80% of Brandon and you're doing that for $5 million instead of 30.
Maybe that's what Kyle Shanahan thinks.
Maybe that's what he thinks.
Well, he had better be right, because if you start the year or you go 9-8 and you don't have Brandon Ayuk because you traded him to Washington, and Pearsall and Cowing aren't good enough, and Conley is a journeyman, and Juwan Jennings is not a real receiver, I mean, and your team isn't very good.
If you traded him to Washington, you've probably got a crap load of draft assets to take another shot at wide receivers next year.
Yeah, and maybe you can go out there and do another third-round miss like you tend to do every single year.
Or, without spending money on Brandon Ayuk, maybe you got a bucket of cash to go shopping with.
Sure.
I don't know.
And then you take another year and you just piss it away because you chose not to bring back a good receiver.
I'm not saying that. I'm trying to get inside Kyle's head.
Well, and if you were playing the arrogance part of this, which it's not arrogance, it's supreme confidence.
Yeah, belief. It's belief in what he's doing, right?
And that's what you want in your head coach.
Totally.
Right? And, you know, his dad is a 2-time Super Bowl champ, and his dad's an NFL lifer, and he grew up around a lot of smart NFL minds, and so... Yeah, he's got a very good background. He's got a lot of confidence. And you know what? He's done very well as a head coach of the Niners. So, of course, he's going to be confident, supremely confident. But this is a whole nother thing when you try to, you know, take a receiver who's an all-pro and maybe replace him over money. And it's not his choice completely. I know that. It's John Lynch and it's Parag Marate and it's ownership. And it's more complicated than that. But... That's a big risk when you take a player who has grown and played with you and done well with you, and you just are going to move off him and pivot.
Well, I mean, at a minimum, I would argue at this point, while I acknowledge we don't know what we don't know, I don't think the 49ers have treated this. I don't think that you could argue that they're treating it in a dismissive way. I don't think that any, right? Does anybody think that the Niners just like, we don't need Brandon?
No, but
like
he's
they're
not...
trying their butts off, and the guy won't say yes to anything.
Well,
that's
maybe
how it feels to me.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
because we're not just talking about the Niners. We're talking about four football teams. We're talking about four football teams. This guy, this guy's got like 12% of the league has tried to pay him. I mean, no.
Yeah.
Ah.
Well,
what do we do? You know what I mean? So, like, it's got to be somewhere in between this idea of, like, well, the Niners just think they could do it without him. Well, no, they clearly don't. They're trying to pay him. They're trying to pay him, I think.
Right.
It sounds like it.
Well, they're trying to do whatever they're trying to do, but this thing should have been resolved a long time ago, and it shouldn't still be dragged out into August 23rd. And I remember talking about this in early August and late July and late June and mid-May and certainly late April when the draft was happening, and yet it still is a thing. So, yeah, they're trying to get resolution, but they could easily have resolved this a long time ago by either trading him or saying, you're playing on the fifth-year option.
Right. Oh, I'll
We're
buy
done.
That.
We're
I'll,
done.
I'll buy that. That like,
and they bought into all of this.
Like, who doesn't think that the 49ers miscalculated this? Of course they did.
Yeah.
I bet the Niners would tell you that. Don't you think?
For sure.
Don't you think the Niners would be like, yeah, this like, wow, in April, we didn't think any way in hell it was going to look like this on August 23rd. No way.
Yeah.
So they've miscalculated this. I'm not going to absolve them of that by any stretch. Here's one hell of a text. Thank you, 813. Check this out. All right, how long will it take one of these other receivers to replicate Brandon week 3, week 4, week 5, week 6? How long will it take Brandon to replicate Brandon? Week 1, 2, 3, 5, this year at all?
Oh, if he comes back?
Evan sat in that seat and said, history tells us that we have already passed the threshold of when Brandon could be his full self this year. Debo, no. Bosa, no. So now we're like hell-bent on having Brandon, and it might well be possible that that doesn't exist in any form, even in the form of number 11.
Yeah, this year.
So now what?
Well, then...
If you assess that Brandon can only be 70% of himself, then yes. Let's just do Pearsall and hope he's 70% of Brandon. If I'm the business offices of the Niners.
Yeah. Well, and I think that Debo was more than 70% of Debo, And I'm trying to think what year that was. Was that 20? Was that 2022?
He's coming off of that great, great year.
Right.
And he was, I mean, statistically, he was nowhere near as good.
He was hurt. He played 13 games.
Yeah. And we always hurt. He's always misses three or four games.
Yeah. So that makes it so, you know, you need Brandon Ayuk even more, but 56 catches, 632 yards, and two touchdowns receiving. Two touchdowns.
Two.
In 2022. He played 12 games.
He had more than that against the Eagles last year alone.
Seriously. So
that is wild. That's wild. Yeah, I mean, that's why I think the clock says what it says. Like, we've probably already reached a spot where the production out of that position has now been depressed. Probably. Right. Probably. Well,
and you drafted a guy hoping that if this went the way that it's gone, that you'd be able to at least use him. And it doesn't feel like Ricky Pearsall is going to be a guy you're going to be able to use at least early in the year. And Jacob Cowing is, quote, behind schedule. And I don't know if he would be a guy who could play the X receiver spot and be able to do what Brandon Ayuk does. So what are you going to do when you want to throw the football this year? A lot of George Kittle. He probably is going to rise on your draft board.
But I mean, aren't we probably looking at this in a way that's not real? I think that our brains have no choice but to work that way because we're all like getting ready for drafts. We think about the individuals on the board and going out there and putting up numbers and producing. Doesn't a football coach look at it more almost like a geometric sort of equation? You know what I mean? Like, how are we going to throw the football? Well, like, there are other wide receivers on the team.
Right.
I can scheme them open. Like, doesn't Kyle? Like, I can scheme them open. And Brock will find them. Brock can throw to Chris Conley. We can get a first down there.
Yep.
Right? And George and Debo and Christian. And they like Jordan Mason and Juwan Jennings. And the young guys can come along and get better each week. Like,
to your point, what percentage of targets do you think that Brandon Ayuk got last year?
What percentage of all targets?
Yeah, there was 471 targeted throws made by the Niners.
Well, I sort of know exactly. Didn't he have 105 targets?
So correct. So 22%.
Yeah.
So one-fifth of the targets. So, yes, as we go through this exercise and this conversation and we all want to talk about Brandon, can you survive without Brandon? I don't think you're a Super Bowl team without Brandon, and I don't think that you're a good enough team without Brandon, but he had 105 targets out of 471, which means
almost
366 other passes were thrown where he was not targeted.
Right, so you could say that almost did just like 80%. 405 times when he drops back, he's throwing to somebody else.
Correct.
But are those people more open because Brandon's on the field and drawing defense?
Like,
this is always more complex than we make
it. It is, but I also look at, you know, the way this offense is run, and he had 105 targets, Kittle had 90, Debo 89, and McCaffrey 83. So those four guys had all but about 80 of the targets. Yeah. So is one more important than the other three? Probably not. The collective of the four of them accounted for darn near 85% of the targets. So to your point, like, if Brandon's not out there, is it harder for George? You're damn right it is.
Well,
is it harder for Debo? Sure.
No doubt.
McCaffrey's are different because he gets, you know, a lot more of the check down stuff.
I'd also say this, and I think that this is a fun discussion, but to me, like, I will die on this hill. I think there's a correct answer to this. Even though it's an opinionated answer, I think it is factually correct. Those four players you just mentioned who gather all the targets for the 49ers, if you went to Kyle Shanahan and you said, I'm sorry, you have got to give one of those four players up. Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Debo Samuel. I'm sorry, you've got to pick one, and we're taking him away from you. Who is he picking?
I don't want to have to pick and stuff. And
but you have to, you know, coach.
I mean, if you think about it and stuff, I mean, McCaffrey is my bell cow and stuff. And, you know, Kittle's really good in the run game and stuff. And I like what he does as a tight end and a blocker. And, Debo is a difference maker, and he's the yak king and stuff. And so, you know, when I think about it and stuff, and I guess I have to make a choice, and it's going to have to be Brandon Ayuk and stuff.
All right. So of all the target monsters on the 49ers.
Too many stuffs or none of that
stuff?
No,
I thought it was. I thought okay. You nailed it.
Thank you.
But $30 million a year for the guy that you
possibly.
Think,
thank you.
You think
you're
is
right.
The least important target monster of your target monsters.
Right. He leads in targets, and he wants to lead in money, yet he would be the first one and stuff that you would probably part
no
with.
No question. No question. Let's go to Mark Grandy. What do
Let's
you got,
Let's go to Grandy.
What do you have, Grandy?
Nothing monumental. Mike Garofolo, though, just on NFL Network, providing another Brandon Ayuk update.
For
it's not,
out
we got some
worth,
fresh Ayuk.
We got fresh Ayuk.
It's not worth getting the sound, so
and
I
is
won't.
It Garofolo?
It's Garofolo.
Okay.
It is. Jimmy Garoppolo, Mike Garofolo.
I said it right, right?
You said it correctly.
But be careful. Evan gets very mad when you correct people on Garofolo. I texted Steiny about it 2 weeks ago, and they made it sound like I was a snooty patootie because I helped him out. I'm like,
arrogant.
It doesn't. Well, I am, but it doesn't rhyme with Garoppolo. It's Garofolo.
Jimmy Garofolo and Mike Garoppolo.
Thank you. What do you have? What did Garofolo
whatever
what
his name
say?
Is on
what
NFL Network. He said everything we've heard for the last like month now. The only new thing is that he can report that Brandon Ayuk has traveled with the team to Vegas.
Hey!
So I don't know. He said maybe that's a sign of good faith.
Maybe or maybe it's not.
Maybe not.
It's a sign of a guy who wants a free trip to Vegas.
Totally.
Is what it is.
He's like, you know. I do like that Bellagio.
If they were playing at
like
Cleveland, there's no chance in hell he's on that flight. Seriously, Niners at Cleveland. Sorry, Coach, my back. I just can't. I just can't get on the plane.
At the risk of the most annoying conversation of all time. If you're about to get traded, are you flying with the team to Vegas for a preseason game that you're not playing?
Probably not. Probably not. I mean
that is, I am a tiny bit surprised.
That he's with them?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Like,
I think,
again, just a tiny bit, but that's...
The whole idea of him being traded for me is so last week, and it's like,
well, yeah,
even 2 weeks ago, I think that...
4 weeks ago, it didn't make any sense.
Well, 4 weeks ago, I thought he was gone.
I know, but it like, you know me, I've said,
right.
If you just... Not the reports, boiled
sure.
down the action, it never made any... I've never really bought that... This doesn't make any sense to me that these teams are like, so we've decided that Brandon Ayuk is so amazeballs that we not only want to pay him everything in the wide receiver market short of Justin Jefferson, and we'd like to give you a future two and a five and our best receiver. That GM should be fired. So it never, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Right. We're a Super Bowl contending team, and you're a really good player. You're a Pro Bowler. We want you out of
and
here.
And that too. Yes, the Niners have a Super Bowl to go win.
Sure.
All right, so that's good.
That's great. He's in Vegas with the team, which tells me that, you know, the blood is probably not that bad. Shout out Taylor Swift.
Maybe he sat in the back and Kyle sat in the front.
Yeah. Maybe he held in on the plane and didn't talk to anybody because I'm not.
That means something different on a plane.
When you hold in?
Well, the bathrooms are very small and these are big people.
Yeah.
Are the bathrooms bigger on those planes, I would imagine?
Nope, same bathrooms.
Offensive lineman goes to the bathroom in one of those
things? I will say this. When I had the rare opportunity to fly on the Sabercats charter.
Oh.
When Bob Fitzgerald.
Whoop.
When Bob Fitzgerald whoop. Was doing play-by-play for the Sabercats. And the Warriors, there was times when there was a Warrior game and a Sabercats game, he couldn't make the trip.
Okay.
I got a chance to do play-by-play for the Cats.
And
I got on the charter.
And?
The charters are incredible.
Yes, they are.
It's a regular-sized plane with only 70 seats. Instead of 240 seats.
Go to the bathroom?
A couple times. I'm looking at the bathroom on myself.
And?
I'm spacious.
Okay.
Read a book in there.
That's what I'm looking for.
It was nice.
That's what I'm looking for.
No, but every seat is a first class seat.
Yes.
You could recline.
Yes.
I may or may not have taken an Ambien.
Oh, yes.
I may or may not have been asleep for 7 hours on the way to Tampa.
You know what else happens on those planes?
Yeah, it does. Oh. No, sorry. No, what happens is when you get
don't talk about that.
Randy, what happens is when you get on the plane.
What is going on here?
There's like a spread of food. It's like a buffet.
Thank you. The first time I flew with USC.
Dude.
Whoop. First time I flew with USC. Eat your heart out, Lucas. Enjoy Scottsdale. So
I'm going to eat it.
First time, because it wasn't the only time. The first time I flew with USC was the first time I was like, oh. The bad food on a plane thing is a complete scam.
Totally.
They make you think, they're like, it's not like we could just have a kitchen up here. Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
The food can be amazing on a plane.
Si se puede.
Scam.
Dude, this was the Arena League, too. Just one more quick aside. The Sharks actually used the Sabercats plane, not the other way around.
That's sad.
No, the plane was sick, dude.
That's sad.
Shout out Fry's Electronics.
I know, but it's still sad. All right, we're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We'll continue the conversation, but also coming up next, we will shed some light on the mystery that was with the San Francisco Giants, who were scheduled to start a catcher tonight that's not on the team.
I don't get it.
We've been able to figure it out. We'll explain it next on Willard and Dibs.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not so secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.